Amen. Matthew chapter 14 tonight. Matthew, Gospel of Matthew chapter 14. And I appreciate that song. And we did not even discuss what she would sing tonight, but it still is just kind of right in line with the message here as far as at least the passage we're preaching out of. And so, so it was all kind of last minute, honestly, as far as her singing that. But it kind of goes right along with it, kind of right where we're at in the scriptures. And so, thank the Lord for that, and the way He puts things together and puts things in our heart. Matthew chapter 14, and if you will look with me in verse number 19. Matter of fact, we'll back up and we'll start in verse number 15, and I'll not ask you to stand tonight. We'll just read through here, read this account. This is a very familiar account, but I want to kind of focus on one, honestly, probably very, very simple truth, and maybe something that we all do, but I want to give you a very biblical basis for it, and pray to be a blessing and a help to us tonight. I think sometimes as preachers and pastors, we put, if we're not careful, we can put pressure on ourselves to all, you know, be looking for something new, like that new thought that's going to like blow people's minds, you know, and things like that. When the truth is, the Lord's, He's give us a Bible, He's give us the Word, and just commanded us just to preach the Word, you know. And there's nothing new under the sun, and man has been preaching this same Bible for, you know, all these years, and at the end of the day, it's not our thoughts, and it's not our personality, and our delivery and all those things that's going to change anybody's life. It's the Word of God that's going to change your life. And anything you need spiritually, any spiritual needs you have, you're going to get it from the Word of God. And now certainly when the Bible's preached, it's filtered through a man and filtered through his personality. And it's just, I mean, it really is impossible whenever a man is preaching the Bible, be it me or whoever else it is preaching, it's impossible to detach it from him and his personality. And the Lord knows that. That's why He gifts men differently, gives men different gifts and different personalities and strengths. But at the end of the day, it's not the man, it is the Word of God. And so any need that you have, the Lord's going to give it. You're going to get that need met through His Word. And so it's not embracing what the preacher says and what the preacher preaches, it's embracing the Word of God and embracing truth. And so I pray this simple truth, and maybe one that we all know already, will help us tonight, and maybe just encourage us and give us some biblical basis for the, you know, the things we do. We need to know what we do and why we do it. And so in verse 15, it says, "And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart, give ye them to eat.' They say unto Him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, 'Bring them hither to me.' And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children." Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace tonight. Thank You for letting us be in Your house. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the truths of the Word of God. And Lord, I thank You that every area of our life can be directed and helped by Your Word. I thank You that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto Your path. Lord, I thank You for the sweet Holy Ghost that guides us into all truth. And Lord, helps us to understand and makes known the truths of the Word of God. And Lord, we thank You for that more than anything, that Christ is made known to us through the Word. And so, Lord, I pray that You'd help us tonight. Lord, we know that these things are not received by the natural man, but they're spiritually discerned. And so I pray that You would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. I pray, Lord, that You would tear down every stronghold in the hearts of men tonight. I pray that You would make the message clear and the Word clear to us. I pray that You would teach us by Your Word. We know that You manifest Yourself through preaching. And so, Lord, I pray that You would be manifested to us tonight. I pray, Lord, that everything that's done would give Jesus honor and glory and uplift Him. I pray that He would have the preeminence. I thank You for what already has been done, but Lord, we so desperately need Your help in this hour of preaching, and I pray that You would help us, and Lord, may we leave here changed, not the same as we came, and we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen and amen. I am interested here in verse number 19, where it says, "And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to His disciples." And I'm really interested there where He says He looked up to heaven and He blessed that food, those 5 loaves and 2 fishes there. Now, we probably all are familiar with this story, this situation that's taken place in the ministry of Christ. He's been out teaching in this mountain and this great multitude. The Bible clearly says here that the number of this multitude was about 5,000 men beside women and children. And so, you know, you could just say that if every man had a wife, that's 10,000 people. And then if every husband and wife had one child, that's 15,000 people. But, you know, just the average today is like, you know, just under 2 children per family. So, I mean, just to say 2 children per family, I mean, you're looking at 20,000 people just if every man is married and every married couple has at least 2 children. Now, in this time, the families were a lot bigger. So it's really safe to say that most, you know, of the ones that were married had multiple children, several children. And so, I mean, there's just this massive multitude here. We caught the feeding of the 5,000, but really it was the feeding of the several thousand. Really, it's probably more like what it was, because it was 5,000 men beside women and children. And it's not mentioned in this particular account. This really is one of the few accounts that is recorded in every gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record what we call the feeding of the 5,000. And it's not necessarily specifically mentioned in this recording, but I do know it's mentioned in John 6, where John records it, dealing with that lad, where he has that 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fish, and he gives it to the Lord. And of course, the disciples say, you know, what are they among so many, and all those things. And the Lord begins to break, and He feeds that massive multitude, got 12 baskets full left over, and all those things. You all know all that, but that's kind of what's taking place here. And in this one specific verse that we kind of lift out of here, verse 19, there really are many lessons in this account and even in this specific verse that we could learn and preach and be taught and all those things. There's several things right here. But the one that I want to really focus on is the lesson and what we see where Jesus looks up to heaven, and the Bible specifically says, it makes it a point to let us know that He looked up to heaven and He blessed the food before He broke it. So before He took the 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish, started breaking them up and dividing them up and giving them to everybody so everybody could eat, He first looked up to heaven, took a moment to bless that food before He gave it out. Now, I know this is such a simple and elementary thought, but it is biblical and there is Bible backing as to why we sit down before a meal and we pray and thank the Lord and bless the food before we begin to eat the food. You all may know this, but this is what Lord's put on our heart tonight, and I want to deal with some things regarding that in this message, maybe just to remind us and stir us up regarding some of these truths. So if you look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, now we see the example in Christ where Jesus I mean, actually does this in Matthew 14. But if we look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and look at what the Apostle Paul says here. First Timothy chapter 4. Now, chapter 4, he is dealing with the last days, the last times. Verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times. And so he's talking about the last days before the coming of the Lord. But if you'll look down in verse number 4, look at what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And so, biblical reasons why we bow and pray and thank the Lord over our food. And even the Apostle Paul, Jesus did it, and then the Apostle Paul later taught it. He, you know, talking about the last days, whenever they would, those, you know, false apostles and false prophets would be commanding that we abstain from meats and not eat meat and all those things. The Apostle Paul said, all creatures are good. And they all should be received, man. Hey, listen, far be it from me to turn down a rack of ribs, man. The Jews may not eat it, and that's fine with me. But Paul said all creatures are good if they're received with thanksgiving because they're sanctified with the Word of God with prayer. And so that's the reason we stop and we pray over our meals. Now, I just want to show you that because that's a command of you know, even in Pauline epistles to the church, he deals with that. But back in Matthew 14, back in our passage, I want to just look at a few things here concerning Christ and Him blessing this miracle and this food and what all takes place here. First of all, we see what He did. It's when Christ blessed the food, what He did was He gave thanks for the food. Now, we'll do that. We will ask someone before a meal, if we go over to the fellowship hall and pray, or if you sit down with your family and have a meal, whatever, someone will be asked, or someone will say either bless the food, bless the meal, or will give thanks for the meal. And the terms are interchangeable here. Blessing the food, giving thanks for the food, they're interchangeable and they mean the same thing. Matter of fact, you're in Matthew 14. Turn over to John's account of the feeding of the 5,000 and look in John chapter 6. The feeding of the 5,000 takes place in John in chapter 6. All three other accounts of the feeding of the 5,000 and the three other Gospels, they all say that the Lord blessed the food. But look at what John says. In John chapter 6, and look in verse number 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples. So they all say that the Lord blessed the food, but then John says He gave thanks for it. Because the two are interchangeable. So the other gospel confirms that you know, to say that He blessed it is the same, that He gives thanks for it, because they're interchangeable terms. So before the meal, we ask to say the blessing or give thanks for our food and for God meeting our needs. It's a good habit to thank God for the food that He's given us before every meal. And you say, Brother Jacob, we all do that. We've all been taught that. Well, you may have been taught that, but you need to know that there's Bible for why you've been taught that. There's a reason for that. The reason is that it's in the Word of God, and it's a good habit, and it's right to do it. It's a good thing to thank God for meeting our needs, because ultimately, that's what it's all about. It's about the Lord being glorified, about God being glorified, because we acknowledge Him as the one who is meeting our needs, the one we are looking to and leaning upon to meet our needs. And that's become less and less of a major thing in our society, because we've grown up in a nation that's so wealthy and so plenteous that people have really, in a sense, had to lean on Him less and less for their food. Back years ago, when we had an agricultural society, and everybody was raising their own food and raising their crops and all those things, boy, they really leaned on the Lord. And they really prayed and they asked God to bless the harvest and bless their crops and bless their livestock and bless their home and their family and meet their needs, because they were leaning on God for that. They knew they couldn't make those crops grow. They knew they couldn't make their livestock, their cows and their pigs and all that, their chickens. They knew they couldn't make them healthy. And they knew at the end of the day they couldn't keep, you know, some possum or some coon from getting in there and getting their chickens and getting their chickens' eggs and all those things. And trust me, I know all about that, man. We had a chicken coop out in Prairie. Before we left, that thing was like Fort Knox, man. I just kept adding to it and adding to it, because every time I'd add something else, they'd get back in again, so I'd do something else. Then some possum would get in again and get them all. We had a chicken hatch like 8 eggs at one time. We had little baby chicks everywhere. Come out the next day, every one of them's dead. I mean, something got in there and got them. And you know, that's the way people used to live. They used to have to live and really rely on the Lord and trust God. But see, nowadays, anything we don't have, we can run down to Walmart and get it. Or we can run down to Dollar General and get it. And it's not like we're really relying on God. We are more than we realize. But I'm talking about just from a societal, natural perspective. It's not like people have it at the forefront of their mind all the time that, man, God is the one that is meeting our needs. And when we stop and we pray and we thank God for providing our food, what we are doing is we are acknowledging Almighty God as the one that is meeting our needs. And it's glorifying Him. You know, even part of the model prayer. You're in Matthew chapter 14. We're so close to it, we may as well just look at it. Turn back just a few pages to your left to Matthew chapter 6. Just a few chapters back. And what we find in Matthew 6 is what is known as the model prayer. And let's just read the whole thing. He says in verse 9, we'll just start right there. It says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Now, that I've mentioned this before, and I'll say it again. This isn't the Lord's Prayer, and doesn't say, repeat this prayer. He says, "In this manner, pray." So we use this as a guide, as an outline, so to speak, when we pray. The Lord never commanded anybody just to pray the Lord's Prayer. That is vain repetition, is all it is. But he says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." And then he says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." So even in the model prayer, the Lord teaches us to pray for our daily needs. The daily things that we need. Because here's the thing. If we didn't have His blessings and His hand upon us daily, our needs would not be met. I know whenever we've just got the money, we can just go buy it. We don't think about that. But at the end of the day, the Lord's the one that's given us the health to work and given us the faculties to work and earn a living and all those things. God is the one that is meeting our needs. And so it is right for us to stop for a moment and say, "Lord, thank You for being faithful to me. Thank You for meeting our needs and for blessing me." If it was not for Him, we wouldn't wake up tomorrow morning. If it was not for Him, we wouldn't make it through the rest of this day. If it was not Him, the Bible says, "By Him all things consist." Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." And so, man, the least we could do is to follow the pattern of Jesus Christ and stop and bless our food. Stop and thank God and acknowledge God for meeting our needs with the supply that He has given us. I mean, isn't it interesting that really what we have, the Bible says that in Him, talking about Jesus Christ, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is the whole Trinity, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in that body that we see when we see Jesus Christ. Of course, we ain't seen Him yet. We've seen Him by faith. One of the days we're going to lay our eyes on Him. But when He was walking around on earth, the fullness of the entire Godhead dwelled in that body that was walking on earth. And yet even he stopped and prayed and thanked the Father for the food that he had provided. And so we see what he did. He thanked the Lord, thanked the Father for that. But then I want us to notice, we're back in Matthew 14. We see what he did, but why did he do it? I mean, he's God. He could have, you know, matter of fact, he did a miracle right there. Matter of fact, he knew what he was going to do. So why did he stop and do it? Why did he give thanks? Well, when Jesus gave thanks, the Bible says in that verse that he was looking up to heaven. By the way, that's one way we can pray. We bow our heads and we close our eyes. That's just kind of traditional, really. I mean, there's not really a lot of Bible to back that. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, there's some things we do that are traditions, and there's nothing wrong with good traditions, as long as good traditions don't become our gods, don't become our idols, you know. But that's kind of really traditional, where we bow our heads and we close our eyes. And we do that, you know, out of reverence, to reverence, be reverential when we pray and to not have distractions when we pray. But, you know, looking up to heaven is a way to pray. We see that in the Scriptures. Men prayed with their hands up. They prayed with their hands up, looking up to heaven. Men would pray prostrate on the ground, on their face before God. And some would pray bowing. Some would pray kneeling. We've seen there's a man in the Bible that prayed, laid in bed and prayed. I mean, all different postures of prayer. And they're all, nothing wrong with any of them. But the Bible says when Jesus prayed in this verse, he was looking up to heaven. What it means is that he was giving thanks for the food in order to honor God. In other words, to give him honor and to give him glory, to giving thanks. When we are thankful, when we give thanks and we're thankful people, what it does is it honors the Lord. It just stands to reason that whenever we don't give thanks and we are not thankful people, that it dishonors the Lord. You know, I said this before, and you all maybe know this, that one of the hallmarks of the last days, the wicked times, the perilous times, but right before Jesus comes, that Paul dealt with in 1 Timothy 4, when he talks about those perilous times and things like that, one of the things that makes those times so perilous and so dangerous is because man will be unthankful. He specifically mentions unthankful. And boy, whenever men in society becomes unthankful, it makes a very savage society, because nobody is happy with what they've got. And when they're unthankful and dissatisfied with what they've got, they don't bother them to kill you and take what you've got. By the way, that's when you see our political system and what drives that, unthankfulness and discontentment is one of the major things that drives this thing of socialism and drives, communism, all those things. It is discontentment and unthankfulness, an unthankful heart. Because what's the whole message they preach? Take from the rich and give to the poor. All these evil rich people that are hoarding up all the wealth of the country. And that's what you hear all the time. All the wealth of the country is owned by the top 3% of all the society and all those things. And we need to distribute that wealth so we eliminate poverty, all those things. And what you got is you got people that hear that and they're like, yeah, that's right. I do want what they have. I do want what their wealth. I do deserve better. I do deserve my rights. And it's all birthed out of a heart of unthankfulness. What they don't tell you is that the top 3% that has all that wealth, very few of them were born into that. What they don't tell you is that very few people were born into wealth. What they don't tell you is that the over 70-something percent, almost 80% of millionaires, it's like 78% if I'm not mistaken, of millionaires are self-made millionaires. That is, they worked long hours and they worked hard and they gave it all they had. They don't tell you how hard they worked. People look at Donald Trump and they're all like, well, you know, he was born and all that. People just assume that people are just lucky and they get things they get. And they don't realize that the man works. He's like up at 4 o'clock every morning and works till like 11 o'clock every night. He gets like 2 or 3 or 4 hours of sleep every night. He's worked all his life. Now, right or wrong, I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong. It's okay. I'm just saying that's not what they tell you. What they do is they preach the message and stir up unthankfulness and discontentment in people's heart to where people are actually okay with the government coming in and taking by force out of the barrel at the end of a barrel of a gun from one person to give to another person because they're unthankful.
And that is one of the things that makes the last days perilous and dangerous is an unthankful heart. And boy, that ought to be far, far from the life of a Christian. Listen, brethren, it doesn't matter how much or how little we've got. We've always got something to be thankful for. If we don't have two nickels to rub together, if we don't have anything to our name, if we don't have anything in this world, if we have the clothes on our back and that's it, and we've got nothing else, and we are in poverty, my word, we still can be thankful we're not going to hell. We still can be thankful that we're saved. We can still be thankful that we've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We can still got something. We can always got something to thank for. I mean, my word, we see that in the life of the Apostle Paul. I mean, few people had it harder than the Apostle Paul. Yet he was always thankful. He was always thankful. And you know, the only way you can have a thankful heart is being led by the Spirit of God, living and walking in the Spirit. Because it doesn't matter if you've got everything the world has to offer. If you're not led by the Spirit and living and walking in the Spirit, you'll always find some reason to be discontent and unthankful for the things that you have. I mean, my word, you look out and some of the wealthiest people there are so miserably unthankful and discontent. It's never good enough. And for us as God's people, my word, the least we could do is be thankful for God meeting our needs. Because Jesus did that. He gave thanks to honor the Lord and honor His Father and honor God. And when we fail to give thanks for the food that we have, I mean our physical needs being met, what we do is we fail to honor God. So we see what He did and why He did it, but look at where He did it. The Bible says that there was a multitude there. In other words, he gave thanks to God openly in public. I mean, he was wide open. I mean, he didn't even bow his head and whisper a little prayer. Isn't that what some people do sometimes? Whenever you're in a restaurant, you don't want to like embarrass anybody. So, you know, there's a bunch of people there and you don't want somebody to see you or whatever. So you just bow and just whisper a little prayer real quick just to thank the Lord for your food. Because you know you need to and all that. But buddy, that was not what Jesus did. Jesus was very blatant and open. And some people would probably even call him obnoxious in the way that he prayed. Because right here in the midst of this multitude, when he's kind of the key component to it all eyes are on him, he gets these five barley loaves and these two small fish. And he lifts up his head. He takes his eyes and his focus and his attention off of everybody. And he does not care who is looking. He lifts his eyes up to heaven and blesses the food and thanks the Father for providing what the Father has provided. Right there in front of everybody, right there in the public eye, there was a multitude of about 5,000 men besides women and children, yet Jesus did not even hesitate to thank God before them all. And I tell you this, listen, if God blesses you and blesses me in public, why on earth would we not openly acknowledge that and thank Him and bless Him in public? We'll take God's open, public blessings, but then want to turn around and thank Him privately for it so nobody sees it. Listen, if anybody ought to be open about how thankful they are that God has blessed them for what they've got, it ought to be us. I mean, we've all got nice cars that we're driving. You say, well, my car is not as nice as everybody else's out there. Well, I'll tell you something right now. It's a whole lot nicer than what people were driving 100 years ago. It's still a whole lot nicer than what people were driving even two generations ago, even 50 years ago. I mean, all of us have got good vehicles. All of us have got warm houses to live in. All of us, we're going to go home and we're going to be able to get out of this rain tonight because we've all got a house to live in. We've all got food to eat. We've all got clothes on our back. We've all got more, abundantly more than what most of the world has got tonight. Why in the world would we take the public blessings from God and not be open and public in our thanksgiving to Him because of what He's blessed us with? Don't ever cower in public or a public eating place, specifically is what we're talking about, in any area. But it's what we're talking about now is an eating place. Don't ever cower in a public eating place in giving thanks. You know what we ought to do? We ought to just bow up and not care who's looking, what anybody thinks. And I mean just pray and thank God openly everywhere we are. Because God is the one who's provided that meal. God's provided everything He's given us. He's provided it all. And if we're going to be blessed, it's going to be Him that does it. And not doing it, whenever we cower, here's the thing. When we cower and whenever we're careful and whenever we're, you know, quiet and all those things regarding thanking God in public, you know what it does? It says that your Christianity really isn't worth much. I think one of the reasons why the world takes Islam so seriously, you realize one of the fastest growing religions in the world is Islam. Like, they're growing by leaps and bounds. You want to know why people take that religion, as false as it is and as weird and even bizarre as a lot of their beliefs are? You want to know why people take it seriously? Because they take it seriously. Because they are open and they are adamant and they are committed to their religion. They don't care what you think. I mean, they do those Muslim prayers 3 times a day and they're so adamant about it that now businesses have to allow them to do that. Their employer has to allow a Muslim to stop working 3 times a day, if it's in the shift that they're working, to stop and go pray and do their prayers that they do. They do them 3 times a day. And you know, you've seen them, they get the rugs out and they kneel down on the rugs and they touch their heads to the floor and do all those things. They do those things 3 times a day. They have fought for that so hard and they believe that so much that now it's law, man. No employer can stop them from doing it. You know, the same is true for Christianity. If we wanted to pray 3 times a day, like Daniel did, and like Joseph did, and all these other men of God did, like David did, if we wanted to do that, we could do it. The problem is, most of us don't do it. We're too scared of what somebody's going to think. We're too scared of upsetting somebody. But you look at the comparison of the two, it seems like the world takes Islam a lot more seriously than the world takes Christianity. I mean, does it not seem that way to you? Does it not seem like they take it a lot more seriously? They're doing a lot more serious stuff. I mean, they're strapping bombs to themselves and they're blowing themselves up. I mean, not that that's right, not that it's even close to right, but it just shows the world. It says, man, these people, they're committed to what they're doing. They're serious about it. And then they look at us and we'll barely even pray over our meal. And when we do it real quietly and silently and try not to offend anybody, upset, and just try to do it, you know, real inconspicuously. Listen, we ought to be bold in what we live for. We ought to be bold in what we live for. And the least we could do in all of it is bless our food boldly and openly, because Almighty God is the one that's given to us. He wouldn't have it if He didn't give it to us. And so we see where He did it. Last of all, we see when He did it. He gave thanks. Now listen, He gave thanks for that food before the miracle happened. Now He knew, I mean, He's God, so I mean, He knew He was going to do a miracle. He knew what He was going to do, but He still stopped and He gave thanks before that miracle occurred. In other words, when He gave thanks for what He had, when He lifted His eyes to heaven and boldly proclaimed to the Father and blessed the Father and blessed God and thanked the Lord for what they had, whenever He gave thanks in that fashion, He only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. He's got, now the setting is, here He is now. He's got thousands and thousands and thousands of people He's got to try to feed. And the disciples are sitting there looking at it and they're like, man, there's no way this is going to work out, you know. And everybody's, you know, their faith is wavering, you know. And there Jesus is, all He's got in His hands is 5 little barley loaves and 2 small fish. yet he still stopped and he thanked God for what he had. In other words, he thanked the Lord whenever he had very little. He thanked the Lord when he didn't even have enough. He's sitting there with a multitude to feed and all he's got is that very little. It is not anywhere near enough to feed them all. But yet he still stopped and thanked God when it was little. He thanked God when it wasn't even enough physically to meet the need there. Now don't pick me. I know he's God. I know he knows what he's going to do, but don't pick me apart here. The message is he still thanked the Lord even whenever it wasn't really what it, you know, kind of should have been. He gives thanks for what he had when it was all that he had. Now the message is this, if we'll give thanks for what we have, even if it's not much, rather than complain about it, if we'll give thanks for it, rather than complain about what we don't have, what we'll do is we'll find ourselves greatly blessed of God. You know, sometimes the Lord doesn't really give us all that we need in every situation. Because sometimes He wants to see if we're still going to be faithful and thankful for what we've got in every situation. Now, He's never failed to come through and give us what we need. I mean, that's never happened for any of us. But sometimes it seems like we're faced with a certain circumstance, faced with a certain situation, and we look at what we've got, and we look at the situation, look at the need, and we say, Lord, this isn't enough. What do most of us do in a situation like that? We complain about it. We do just like the disciples. We say, Lord, what is this among so many? What is this among all that I've got to do? And what is this among all the big need that I've got to meet? Lord, what is it? We lose our faith and we get fearful and we grumble and complain and gripe and get frustrated and all those things. That's how we normally respond. But you know, in situations like that, what God's looking for is He's looking for a thankful heart. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. When what he had wasn't even enough, he still stopped and thanked the Father for it. You know, Luke 16, verse 10 says this. Jesus teaching and preaching, and Jesus said, He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And you know, being faithful in the least, being faithful in little, that includes being thankful in little. I'm going to say that again. Being faithful in little includes being thankful in little. And so if we'll be faithful and thankful when we've got a little, the Lord can count us worthy to be faithful and thankful when we've got a lot. Because here's the thing, here's the truth. A man that is not faithful in little, a man that is not thankful with a little, he also won't be faithful when he's got a lot. And he also won't be thankful when he's got a lot either. And that's what the Lord's looking for, a thankful heart. Being thankful in a little includes being thankful. Being faithful in a little includes being thankful in a little. And so one man said, the grateful heart will best experience the generosity of God. Now, I know this is a simple truth, but this simple truth is all about being thankful and glorifying God. And if anybody ought to be thankful and ought to glorify God in everything that we have and in every area of life, it ought to be us. If anyone is going to glorify God in much and in little, it ought to be us, because that is what we are called to do. That is the church's primary job, is to glorify God. That's what every individual Christian's primary job is, to glorify God. And that's why we stop. That's why we take just a minute to pray. It doesn't have to be this big, long, you know, eloquent prayer. As a matter of fact, I never pray that. As a matter of fact, it kind of like, I don't really love it whenever people pray long, eloquent prayers before meals. I'm just being honest with you, because I'm normally hungry. I'm ready to eat. And it doesn't have to be a long, eloquent prayer. But it's the very least we could do to stop for just a moment and say, Lord, thank you for meeting our needs. Thank you for giving us this food. It may be a lot or it may be a meager supply, But at the end of the day, God's the one that gave it to us, and God's the one that gave us everything we've got. And so may we glorify Him in that. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace, and I thank You for this day. Thank You for helping us with the Word. I thank You for helping us to preach it. And Lord, I pray that You will take, Lord, this simple truth and drive it into our heart. Lord, I pray that You would help us, Lord, to be a thankful people. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to be a grateful people. Lord, help us to be a people that glorifies You in every area of our life. I pray that You would, Lord, help us, Lord, to just be what You want us to be. Lord, You've got everything we've got, You've given to us. And Lord, You've blessed us with all that we have. And Lord, even beyond the physical things, Lord, every physical thing we have, Lord, cars to drive and clothes to wear and houses to live in, Lord, You've blessed us with it all. But Lord, even beyond that, the most important things, Lord, the spiritual blessings, You're the one that's blessed us with it all. And so every good thing we have has come from You. And we want to thank You for it. And I pray that You'd help us to always be grateful and thankful for everything You've done for us. Lord, I pray that You'll bless now as we close the service, bless down the altar call. If You spoke to someone's heart tonight, I pray that You would help them to respond in a way that'd be pleasing to You. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.